is now being recorded. Thank you. Shall I do a roll call for you?
Please, Gwen, go ahead.
Thank you. On the call, we have Tony Holmes, ISP, Ron Andrus, Business Constituency, Ray Fassett, Registry Constituency, Wolf Ulrich Knoben from the ISP, Ken Stubbs from the Registry Constituency, and for staff, we have Julie Hedlund, Rob Hogarth, and Glenda Sangeri.
And Glenn, this is Ray. If you could do me a favor and state those that have not yet joined the call that are on our committee.
Yes, I will do that in a minute.
In the meantime, we can go ahead and start our agenda. I'd like to try to keep this to an hour to try and accommodate everybody's schedule, not so much mine. I think if we can be sort of swift and controlled in our time, then we'll actually be more productive as we go along. If it goes over an hour, I'm okay with that. I just would like to set a goal. If everybody's okay with that?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
Okay. I sent an email this morning. I'm sure everyone has probably seen it, that we want to jump right into where we left off last week that had to do with the Operations Steering Committee proposal of the organizational structure of the GNSO, spearheaded by originally Ron, but then also vetted out through a few phone calls and teleconferences to a document that I passed around originally this morning that Julie and Ron worked on after our call last week that included the addition of an organizational chart at our request. And subsequently, we have had Tony come in with some comments and some suggested edits consistent to the remarks he made last week on our call. I thought very consistent. So if we all can agree, I'd like to work from Tony's draft, edited draft.
Agreed. Yes, agreed.
Okay. Let's bring that out. Let's each bring that document up. And let's now what we want to try to accomplish today is what Ron has called flying the kite. You know, whether we want to, as a work team now, send this document out for others to view or otherwise request formal opinion or comment on, however you want to word that. And in light of taking, I think we all agree on the flying the kite approach. We're okay with that. But let's take a view of this of, okay, what aren't we thinking that people are going to come back with and slam us on in the low-bearing fruit that's really not intended. And that's why I also appreciate Tony's comments, because I think he's looking at it that way. So with that, anybody have any comments?
I had a couple of questions for clarification, and it may be, Ray, it's Tony, by the way, it may be that I've not picked up on the finer points in the draft, but if I could just raise a couple
of
points.
Please. Yes.
I'm still a little unclear, Ron, on the chair now, because it shows this structure with GNSO elected rep 1 and elected rep 2, and they both go up to the chair. I'm not quite sure what's meant by those separate boxes where you show the elected representation. Is that's come in per constituency, is that? So you have two strands, is that the thought?
No, on that one, this is Ron Andrew speaking. On that one, Tony, that was meant to say simply that to create a executive committee of the GNSO, the recommendation was you would have the chair of the policy council, chair of administration, the chair of the GNSO overall, and then you would have two more reps that would be elected. So I was suggesting one might come from the policy council side and one might come from the administration side. But that group of five then would become the executive committee for the larger GNSO.
All right.
So okay. That was the logic behind it. Only to say that, you know, let the policy counselors select one officer besides their chair, and let the administration officer select one besides their chair. And that, again, is just more to balance the load and to provide for, you know, more people around the table in discussion.
Okay, this is probably just me, and I'm probably the only one that thinks on this way. But I would have thought on the grammatic representation, it would have on the diagrammatic representation, it would have shown those two lines going into the executive committee box, and that's where I got confused. I think that it's clarity in the text, but not on the figure.
Yeah. And that's fine, and we can clean that up. But what I was trying to point out was just basically it's a five-person executive committee, and you would have two representatives from the policy side, two from the administrative side, and one chair.
Okay, thanks. I get that from the text, but not from the drawing.
Okay.
Just a short question, always speaking to that. So for my understanding, to understand where we come from and where to go with that chart, is that correct? So right now, there's a GNSO chair here, so I didn't see any GNSO chair up to now. Is that the same as the in the existing situation, the counter chair? The GNSO, or do we have at the moment two chairs, a GNSO chair and a GNSO counter chair? What is it about? Okay. You know what I mean?
Certainly, Will. This is Ron. The larger thinking of this whole process of splitting the two, splitting the GNSO into an administrative body and a policy advisory, policy council body, was, again, just coming back to the basics, to bring the policy people looking at policy, administration looking at administration. What we have today is the chair of the policy council that is acting de facto as the chair of the GNSO.
Okay.
Which is not the case. That chairperson is the chair of the policy council, so we don't have anyone, one individual, kind of as the top of the GNSO today. What we're trying to do with this exercise is flesh out the GNSO to be a fully functioning body, so have both sides of the of this organization operational.
Okay.
And so when we have that, we'll need one person at the top of that pyramid, if you will, that is kind of coordinating the functions, and the executive committee really is the body that is doing that. So the XCOM is intended to kind of be the clearinghouse for all activities within the GNSO, and to discuss when things come on the table as to which, you know, is this an administrative task or is this a more a counselor's task, and if and to make those kind of decisions as issues come forward.
Okay.
Just another comment from Tony, if I can, Ron. I think, well, as far as today goes, this isn't the place to discuss in detail the proposal. I don't think we're actually doing that. But what we are discussing is making sure that anything that goes out to the constituencies, or however broad we want to circulate this, that all the information is there. The worst thing we can do is put these documents out and get back more questions on the document than we do on input on the substance.
Agreed.
So
but in that regard, Tony, I'll come up with some language and submit it to Julie in terms of just a footnote on this diagram to clarify, you know, exactly what I've just described.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, this is Ray. Does anybody else have any comments on? I think it's okay to have some additional dialogue on the substance of the document.
I think Ray, there was actually. I'm sorry, you just sparked something in my mind. Sort of jump in on you. Two things. One, I would say that Tony's edits make it a less onerous document. It's not that the work team has recommended this, but rather the work team's flying this kite. And I think I would suggest that we incorporate Tony's edits. First of all, that's my point number one. Point number two would be we need to put a preamble either in the body of the email or preferably in the body of the email and on top of this document, in maybe even in red letters, that basically says this is not a recommendation from the work team. Rather, this is to get a sense of the community if we're moving in the right direction. I think what Tony just said is quite right. We don't want questions on the document as much as we want feedback on the document. So we need to make sure that preamble, I'll call it a preamble, is very clear and doesn't get lost if the document were actually just copied and sent on to someone else, that perhaps that having that preamble in both the document and the cover note would be very helpful to make sure that no one's under any misunderstanding as to what we're trying to do here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even in the heading where it says, you know, Figure 1 recommended GNSO structure, we might want to even soften that up a little bit.
Yeah, you know,
draft
suggested for review. But I'm talking about the document as a whole,
yeah.
not just that figure, but, you know, the document as a whole. Clearly, we need to make sure that there's a language in there that makes people understand that this is a feeling from the work team that this may be a good way to go or not, and we put this out to the community to get more voices reflecting back, is this a good way to go or not? So keep the discussion really channeled to a place where it's going to give us the guidance we're looking for.
Right, and I think how we could address that, Ron, it's a good point, is to say, you know, again, going back to what started all this, which is the high-level principle. So, you know, I think the high-level principle we're looking at here, which has led to this, is this concept of the separation of duties.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
A preamble that basically says that our team, our work team is examining towards the goal of the GNSO being a manager of the policy process rather than a legislative body. We've identified a high-level principle with regard to the separation of duties and then how to implement that, you know, something like that, where we're just tying it to a high-level principle.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then this is a format that the work team has discussed and now are in need of additional input from others.
Yep.
I think some of that raised probably in the last paragraph I added at the end of the first page.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Now, from a blocking and tackling standpoint, and again, I'm not ready to move off of the substance of the document if anybody has any comments, but from a blocking and tackling standpoint, how do we want to go about now communicating this outwardly?
What, right, on the substance of the document,
yes.
We haven't had that much time to look at it, and I think all we're seeking is to make sure the required clarity is there. So maybe if Ron is going to tweak the figure, we could then just have a couple of days or a day to check out that everything's in the text that maps onto the figure and that there isn't anything we need to add for additional clarity.
Okay.
And then that we're happy with it to go out. So the very worst thing we're going to get back is a lot of questions.
Okay, now fair enough, Tony. Now I need to apologize because, you know, probably what I should have done when I got this document myself over a week ago, because I probably should have sent it around to the group, here's the document, but I didn't because it's redundant in that Julie sent it around to everybody. And, you know, I don't like to get duplicate emails. Even when in this group, I'm now just emailing, you know, the header, if you will, the operations council. I'm not CCing Julie, I'm not CCing Rob, I'm not CCing. And the reason for that is it starts to become cluttery. I'm sure you all have cross-posting, whatever you want to call it. But I do want to point out, we keep pay attention to the Julie emails because she's serving that capacity for us in terms of some communication. And this document was sent out a week ago, so I just want to point that out to the group.
Ray?
Yes.
Yes, Ken. Following up on what Tony said, I would suggest that before we send it out to a large group, we might put together a list of people who have dealt with operations in so what I would call an administrative way over the last 10 years. Let me give you a list of some of the people that I would put on that list, and then what I would do would be to send out that, just surface it to them and kind of get their overall opinions. That would include people like Phil Shepard, who was a chair, people like Bruce Tonkin, people like Avria, maybe someone who's done a lot of work in the working groups like Marilyn, Kate, and Chuck, and you know, people who've lived with this from the administrative standpoint and kind of get their preliminary feelings, because they may help make it easy for us to fine-tune this thing before we take it out. And why not tap into that reservoir of experience? Just a food for thought.
So fly the kite where the heavy winds are.
Well,
I think that makes sense. I think there's some logic to that. Anybody else have any ideas,
yeah.
thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's quite a good approach as well. Maybe if we're going to do that, one other person I would add would be probably Roberta.
Oh, absolutely. That would be a good idea.
Well, I think Tony and Ken are probably the most experienced here in their skills and et cetera.
We can also provide you with people that over the last 10 years we've had to deal with or who have dealt with issues like this or with processes like this, and they may take a look at this thing and they may come back and say it's wonderful, or they may come back and say, you know, it's not going to work unless you do this or this, and I think their input would be well taken, and it's going to be much more refined, and the perspective is going to add a lot of credibility for us.
I personally think that's a very constructive approach. Does anybody have any thoughts on that?
Well, this is Ron. I'll go in the queue.
Yeah. Yes, please, Ron. Go ahead.
Just the only comment that I would make on that is I think that the point is well taken, that people who have been dealing with these issues will have a very clear perspective on it. But my concern, or the concern that kind of flashed up for me, was only that these are individuals who are, you know, very much in the trenches as opposed to the larger community's wish. So I just caution that we don't let this smaller group, and I agree that these are all people who are skilled, the names that have been mentioned, people who have experience in this. But I will use one comment here. For example, Philip, being a BC rep of ours, Philip is very, very skilled in policy stuff. I don't think Philip has a tremendous amount of capability in administration stuff. Now, that's a very narrow view that I have of him from the BC's point of view. But my point being is that he may say, yeah, this is great, or he may say this is of no value, but that's skewed because he's very policy-driven. So I just want to be careful with whatever feedback we get back from the coming back from this community or from this smaller group, that we actually take that with a grain of salt and move forward with that. So that's the comment that I wanted to add.
I think that's a very sound comment, Ron. And from what I see for us is what we're doing in a selective way is we're expanding the size of our little group here. You know, we're going to reach out to these specific individuals. I think they each will participate. And in effect, what we're doing, where we recognize the weakness, potential weakness of our group, is we're small. We can be agile, move fast, and that's a good thing in these kinds of settings. But on the other hand, another objective we have is to be, you know, have as much participation as possible. In fact, what we're doing is we're inviting participation into our group. And I like that approach personally.
Yes. I would like to come back, you know, to the to one of the issues we raised. So let me say, Tony and myself, and we have with that approach is to find out. Or I personally, I'm not really, let me say, I don't know really exactly whether the administrative and the policy-related stuff and tasks are really should be on the same level. That was one question we had. And this is exactly what we have to point out, and also we have to ask the people who are experienced in that. And therefore, really, we need people to ask who have the experience from the past, well, in order to think over that and really give us their opinion. Is it really the case, also for the future, not only at the time being, but also thinking for the future, might that really be the case in the future that the GNSO is going to get more load, to get more load on the administrative side as it is at the time being? And that's, if that is the case, for example, and if that is really going to happen, then I feel better agree to such an approach.
And that's
you really need people who have that experience and could think in strategic ways. So.
Good comment, Wolf. Anybody else?
Yeah, yes, please, Ron. Tony.
Go ahead, Tony.
taking account of what Wolf Ulrich said, one of the things we could do when we circulate this is to put a couple of key questions in there. One of them could be the fundamental question. Do you consider that this structure would actually provide a viable way forward? And then we could raise a sub-question. If so, do you feel that both of these functions should be at the same level? And if not, what structure would you suggest? So we could get a clear answer to that. Another comment I had, it's almost a halfway house to Ron's concerns and Ken's proposal. In fact, I don't know whether it would really meet Ken's requirements, and I have a very open mind on this, and that is that if we're going to circulate this, what we haven't really said at this stage is who is it going to go to. I've assumed that it's all of the constituencies, but I do think there's a lot of merit in Ken's approach, and one of the options would be to approach those people at the same time and make the point that they have been sent a copy personally, because their views would be very much welcome, as they've had some experience of activities with the GNSO in the past. So it doesn't serve the purpose, I think, that Ken was looking for, which is to say, let's test this a little bit and see if we can improve it. But what it would do is make sure that those people provide feedback anyway. It's just another option.
I think partially, this is Ray, what we're looking to accomplish, too, is we've identified this high-level principle that it revolves around this concept of separation of duties. And I think if we can get that kind of validation from others that, yes, that is a need that needs to be addressed with the new structure, and then how you get there, you know, is now the next step. You know, this is a proposed way. This is one way, you know, because we want to put some meat behind the bones. But if we go reach out to this group that are experienced, that have been in it for a while, and we sort of get a consensus view back that, yes, that is a need, this separation of duties concept, I think we've accomplished something. How do others feel about that?
I'm okay with that, personally.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think there are a couple of things that I've heard now in the last few minutes. One, we need to identify who these people are, and I'm going to look to Ken and Tony to, you know, in particular, others can also please, but you two, I think, have an idea of who these people could be to help us in that, if you could offer those people.
Okay, so shall we do that to the list?
I would suggest we, you know, if it's possible, even just to discuss it right now, because it's a pretty short group, I would
okay.
think, that we're talking. I mean, Ken more or less identified most of them right now. The idea of having Bruce Tonkin, because Bruce having been a former chair,
mm-hmm.
Philip having been a former chair of the GNSO, or mm-hmm. DNSO, Marilyn for all of the skills she has, Chuck because of who he is, Avery because she's the current chair. You'd mentioned Roberto, I think, would also be valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Other names?
Yeah, and how many constituencies are we hitting there? We're obviously hitting the business constituency. We're actually hitting a board member as well, and Bruce.
And Roberto? Who are we talking about in Roberto?
Roberto Bettino,
yeah. Yeah, Roberto, exactly.
Julie, are you taking notes on who the people are?
Yes, I am. I
Thank
heard
you.
Earlier mentioned Philip Shepherd. Do we want him in the list?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I've got him.
Yeah, Phil, I think Phil, even though I happen to agree with the assessment of Phil's strengths, Phil still had to deal with issues just like I did when I was chairing the council. And I think in addition to the members that we have on this specific committee, we probably have a pretty good perspective. The only other person you might possibly want to include would be a good representative from the at-large communities, or not commercial like Milton Mill or something like that, but that, or even Milton comes to mind only because his name he's been involved for so many years. But I think from a practical standpoint, this is being done more as a solicitation rather than an optical goodwill exercise. So I think, you know, the people you think were most likely to provide good solid feedback on a timely basis, and that's why I went for those names. I know Bruce will be more than happy.
Steve Vitalis would be another one that you could certainly add from the IP side. Steve,
yes, I think that's a good addition.
Quickly responsive to that.
And then, if I've heard right, I think there's only one constituency missing, and we should probably address that, and that is the registrar's constituency. We should probably pick out somebody that's played a key role there.
Well, yeah, the only thing I would say is that Bruce, of course, for years was the registrar's council rep, but if you wanted to, you could use John Nevitt.
John Nevitt would be a good addition, Ken, I think.
Yes.
Ray, this is Rob. When there's a chance, I'd like to make a couple comments.
Oh, sure, Rob. You're just going to rain on it all, aren't you?
Not at all.
Oh, go ahead.
I had two comments or questions, one in this audience circulation area and the other to the substance. You're identifying existing constituencies. My recollection is that in the past, in form of reach out, you've also discussed the potential to involve proponents of new constituencies. I didn't know if in this initial sort of look for feedback you wanted to include that wider group or not.
This is Ray. I'm going to comment on that one. I'm going to think not at this point. I think when it comes to the broader communication, I think that might be appropriate. I'll have others comment on that, but a controlled lab test is what comes to mind.
I'd like to comment on that, Ray. I think your response is correct, because Ken's thrust for this was to get the involvement and some feedback from people who've had experience of handling things to date, and I think that's exactly what we're doing with the list we currently have.
Now,
in this initial phase.
Okay, now I would like to add, though, is while we're reaching out to these individuals, I think it is appropriate to also reach out to the OSC in a formal capacity as well. So all the members that are in the OSC, if they would like to also come back to us with their feedback. So we're notifying the OSC at the same time.
Yeah, but I understand. But Chuck is the chair of that, right? So
yeah, and Chuck will give his personal opinion.
Well,
but Chuck will, if we're going to get an opinion from the OSC, it's going to have to be going to Chuck saying, hey, Chuck, we would like an opinion from the OSC.
Well, but that's my point. I think now we're getting we're stretching it a little bit.
Okay.
Point being is that Philip's on the OSC, I'm on the OSC, with John Nevitt's on the OSC, who else is here? Steve Vitalis is on the OSC. So
okay.
There's enough people from that, but my point was simply that I think the issue that Ken's brought forward is that one that there's people who have been experienced in this for a period of time. Let's just run a one time by them just to make sure, you know, this is the what did we miss here test. You know, what are we missing on this thing? And these guys go, yeah, you know, kind of makes sense. I don't know if I like it personally or don't like it personally. That's not relevant, but what's relevant is there anything screaming out at you, the person we sent it to, that we're missing here or we should be giving more consideration to? If we don't get a lot of noise coming back in that regard, then we send it out to the community. Point being that we want the community just to give us this direction that we're looking for. I think if we start getting too restrictive about sending too many groups, we're going to look like we're kind of playing favorites here, and we're trying to squeeze something a round peg into a square hole by going this route. And we really need to be transparent in this process.
That's a very good point, Ron. This is Ray. I think we definitely should announce on our wiki page or however we can announce within the resources we have to state that as an action item, our work team has decided that we want to reach out to these specific individuals so that it doesn't look like we're doing something behind the scenes.
That's fine. And, you know, we're looking for feedback on our documents prior to sending it out to the community.
Right.
Ray, this is Rob. I had one other item.
Yes, Rob, go ahead.
This goes to substance, and a number of you may be aware of some of the discussions that have been taking place at the GNSO council level. And my substantive comment goes to the figure that Tony referenced earlier, and in particular the green circles. And what's been happening over the last couple of weeks in terms of GNSO council discussions have been some reactions to some recommended bylaw revisions that the staff floated for community discussion. And the substance of that discussion is something you all should be aware of, and that is this growing evolution and movement among the constituencies and stakeholder groups to potentially eliminating constituencies or reducing their role and elevating the role of stakeholder groups. The reason that I raise it is that in this document it is significantly constituency-centric, and so at the very least you may want to acknowledge that there are broader discussions taking place and that there may be a role for the stakeholder group in this structure or in this process.
Okay, well, this is going to be a Ray question, GNSO Restructure 101, okay? And it kind of drives to a point Eric Bruner-Williams has raised to a comment I made that the BGC reaffirmed its commitment to the constituency process, and it seems to me I'm confusing the term constituency and stakeholder group. Can you, Rob, give me what the delineation is of those two terms?
I will try in a very brief overview, and Tony and others can comment. Essentially, what the BGC report did was created an additional bureaucratic layer referred to as stakeholder group. There are varying interpretations as we go forward and begin discussing details as to how fulsome that layer should be. The staff originally interpreted the BGC report to have that layer be a light structure that did nothing more than select who would be on the GNSO council. As the stakeholder group efforts have gone into high gear, as I think members of the community have looked at this much more closely, there's been recommendations made literally in 3 out of the 4 stakeholder group charters that have been submitted to the board to look at a much more robust stakeholder group role in the GNSO. And to the extent that that, you know, is ultimately endorsed by the board, that would provide some changes here. You might just be substituting counselors for stakeholder group representatives, constituencies, substituting that out for stakeholder groups. That's not clear at this point. And I'm not sharing the information for the substance of the discussion as much as I am for your awareness that the discussion is taking place, and that some folks may immediately look and see constituency, oh, don't you guys know we're really talking more broadly about stakeholder groups now? And my only suggestion is to perhaps include some flexibility in this document to recognize that that broader discussion is taking place.
Okay, so I'm still not quite understanding, so, and it's me, okay? But if there's an intellectual property constituency today, what would that be as a stakeholder group?
May I jump in on this one?
Yeah.
I'd like to get into you as well.
Right. So let's look at the commercial stakeholders group. Is now the commercial stakeholders group is being created out of the ISPs, the IPs, and the BC.
Okay.
That comes together, becomes the commercial stakeholders group.
Right.
But within that, there is within those three within that stakeholders group, there are 3 constituencies who have not yet agreed to, you know, merge everything in together and throw away the old structures. What we have are 3 constituencies coming together to form one group, and so we will have to develop within the CSG, the commercial stakeholders group, the same kind of a format. We'll have to establish within that some kind of a structure, a new structure.
Okay.
So this structure that we're looking at here right now with this design is one of the things that may be discussed within that body as well. But at this stage of the game, we have, in the, you know, the loose understanding of the CSG, we will have to have some kind of a chair, somebody to coordinate these 3 bodies, and some kind of an administrative group to manage meetings and outreach, and we'll have to have some kind of a group. Part of those people within the CSG will be doing policy work. So we'll have to come up with that structure, but we don't have it today. But what we do have is an agreement that we'll all go into that CSG, and then there will be a non-commercial stakeholders group.
Okay, you're answering my next question.
At large and ALAC. And then we'll have the registry stakeholders group and the registrar stakeholders group. So there's going to be 4 stakeholder groups effectively. And the only one that's really, well, there's 2, the non-commercials and the commercials that are affected in that we have to, merge our groups together and form some kind of a structure. Now, within our body of CSG, we have one organization in particular that would like to maintain some individuality. So that's something we need to address in an appropriate way. So constituencies aren't going away tomorrow, but they will be modified to become something else. This document was written with that in mind, actually. Rob, coming back to you, I appreciate your comments, and we may want to wordsmith this a little bit just to make sure that there's not too much constituency, or, you know, looking as old constituencies versus the new kind of constituency look. But we've used constituency as a term to suggest how would the different bodies put forward representatives. So we'd look to each of the existing constituencies. So maybe we need to use those terms, or add that term, existing constituencies, into that mix for clarity.
Well, Rob, I think you've made an excellent point here, in my opinion. If this process, I know that there is some pushback coming, especially on the CSG side, in terms of collapsing those into one stakeholders group, and I understand that, but I think the reformation of this is moving towards stakeholder groups. I think that is what we should be assuming in approaching
our...
Could
I join the queue, Ryan?
Yeah, that's how I drafted that document, Ray, with that in mind.
Yeah.
Constituency groups, that is.
Right. I think it might be appropriate that we rethink that in terms of instead stakeholder groups. I'm just throwing that thought out there. And who was that, Tony or Wolf?
Yeah, Tony.
Tony. And is Wolf, are you in the queue as well?
No, not yet.
Okay, Tony, please go ahead.
Okay, I think, Ray, that Ron explained the CSG group exactly as it is. But my understanding is that within the proposed structure, you wouldn't have to have the same arrangements necessarily across all of the stakeholder groups. Some may choose to collapse, some may not. And how they work within, I think, is going to be defined by those stakeholder groups. But what we should do is take account of the fact that the situation is very flexible now. And certainly within the document somewhere, I think we need to add some text that covers off Rob's point to say that the situation is pretty fluid at the moment, and we're not making any subjective judgment on the final structure of the stakeholder groups or their relationships with the constituencies, and just leave it open.
Okay.
I support that.
Okay.
I support that as well.
All right. I like that suggestion as well. I'm looking at this org chart again, though. Do we need the green circles in that org chart at all?
Well, the green circles are for clarity, just so people understand, you know, what is that council and what is the administration? How is it made up?
Could we explain that and maybe put that into a text? You're going to be adding some text.
I'm going to add a footnote to clarify the sketch, yes.
Well, I'm just throwing out there for discussion. Would it be better to remove the green circles?
Going back to my original point that we don't want lots of questions, I think you could get some questions if you do remove them, right?
Okay.
And I'll, as I say, Ray, this is Ron, I'll address that in the footnote. The footnote's only going to be two or three lines, but effectively it will say that, you know, the executive council, executive committee is intended to be this, and the policy council administration would be made up of those numbers. As suggested, something along those lines. So it'll be not a lot of text, but, you know, just to give some clarity to that drawing.
The only reason I raise it is because when I see two counselors per constituency, and if there's 15 constituencies,
not 15. Saying in the future,
yeah.
Possibly. Yes, but again, this is our recommendation for today and how we might develop it. Now the GNSO, as a policy council, will bring some scope to what happens now as we start to shape this thing, you know, as new constituencies come on stream.
But if we said two counselors per stakeholder group, now...
That's not the way it is. We have actually six coming from our stakeholder group. And there's six coming from the NCUC.
You might be able... This is Rob. I'm sorry. You might be able to... Again, perhaps change some of the wording in there, something along the lines of to be populated as appropriate by constituencies or stakeholder groups or something along that, those lines.
I'll put an asterisk beside that, that where it says constituency, and to bring clarity that, you know, in today's structure, we're folding bodies into commercial stakeholders groups. That's understood. In order to populate the GNSO Council at this point, we're using constituencies. As this should change, as this should, you know, as new constituencies, as new new constituencies or new stakeholder groups are born, they will then the policy council will address this. Bottom line is, it's an open-ended question. We can't figure out the answer to this question until the question gets asked, and we don't know what that question is. Is it 1, 2, 5, 10 new constituency stakeholder groups or not? We don't know till they get there. For example, the one on the table right now about, I think it was the IDN GTLDs, I don't know what that is as a constituency group per se, but or a stakeholder group, but clearly they belong over in the registry side of it, because it's a GTLD and registries are managing TLDs. So this isn't kind of our discussion as much as it's the registry's discussion with that group. But at the end of the day, there's going to have to be some kind of allotment if it's approved to provide for their voice.
Huh.
That's drilling down. That's not a high level principle. We got to stay with the high level principles here, or we're going to get really, really stuck.
But Ron, Tony, could I ask you a question on that? I understand why it's two councillors per constituency for the policy council, because I think that's where you're looking at the main bulk of today's activities, as I understand it, and that's what's in the board governance report. But I don't know why you have one or two representatives from the constituencies on the GNSO administration side. So maybe if you took out any numbers there and just put representatives from constituencies, that might just cover that off.
Yes and no, Tony. I mean, you know my feeling. The reason that there's two policy councils is to share the workload. I don't see why there shouldn't be two administrative people to share the workload.
Depends how big the workload is, I think, right?
Well,
that's one of the issues we haven't really bottomed out.
That's right, but I agreed. To flesh that out and to give some, you know, clarity to that, I've suggested that would be a minimum of one and recommended two. But I mean, I'm not married to it. I could take it out and say, you know, representatives from. That's going to ask the question, how many representatives?
Okay.
Fair enough, Ron. I think you've definitely validated your point.
Well, just a comment. Wolf Ulrich speaking, yeah?
Yes, Wolf.
Coming back to a question I had before, the last meeting, that is the question how it fits to the structure which has been decided for the council right now. So let me say for the two-house structure, you know, because if somebody looks at that, somebody who is not familiar with our discussion right now, look at that part, and he has in mind the decision taken about the council structure with two houses, which means, what does it mean, 16 or 18 councillors? I don't know exactly how many. So I'm asking myself whether we should put any opinion or any let me say connection to that into that chart. You know, two councillors per constituencies means registries, our constituencies, and others as well. How does it fit to the number of the total number of the existing or the council structure which has been decided right now? That's my question.
Yeah. Well, if I understand your question correctly, it has to do with the size of the council now versus what this could be interpreted to be the size in the future.
You have a decision. The new council should be seated in June in Australia, and this council is supposed to have how many? 16 or 18 members?
Two people per, as it stands today. There will be six members from the commercial stakeholders group.
Yes.
Of which we have three constituencies. That's two per.
Yes, plus six from the NCUC.
Right.
Plus six from the registry registrars, isn't it?
And then I think we've got one non-com.
Okay, so that's 18 in total plus the non-com.
Right.
So I'm looking for that. So how does it fit to
this
that?
Diagram reflects that. The only thing missing there is the non-com.
All right, for those of us that are slow here, like me, this is Ray, can you repeat that again? Is the polls are from the CSG stakeholder group, that there's supposed to be six reps on the new GNSO council, right?
Correct.
From the non-commercial stakeholder group, six.
Correct.
What now from the registry registrar, which is the contracted house, how many?
I think there's actually, there's only two representatives there from each side, so that would be another four.
Four total from the contracted house, right?
Right. And then one non-com.
Yeah.
So that will bring us down to 12 from the commercial, non-commercial, 4 from the contracted side, so that's 16, and then the 17th individual is the non-com.
Okay, that's helpful, guys.
And Ray, this is Rob. On the wiki, you've got a link at the bottom of the page to the new council organization as approved by the board. That includes the various stakeholder groups, constituencies, and the various numbers of voting and non-voting members of the council, including the liaisons from the GAC and the ALAC.
Okay, so to Wolf's point, though, we have this number of 17. I think Wolf's question is, does this fit into that? And Ron, you're saying it does.
Correct.
Okay, good job. Okay. So, Julie, you have, I think the action items we have now for this document is we're going to compile a list of those to reach out to. And, Julie, I think you took some notes on who those people are.
Yes, and I'll send that list around everybody in case I've missed someone. But I guess the only question I had was Milton Mueller was mentioned, but it wasn't clear to me that was accepted to add him to the list.
From Ron's point of view, I don't know if Milton's the right guy, only from the point of view, he's such a contrarian, it doesn't really matter what you send him, he's going to send you back something that's contrary.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if that's fruitful or not, but that's just my personal voice.
Well, this is Rob again. Robin Gross is on your work team roster representing the NCUC, and she's the chair of that body right now.
Very good.
So she can take it internally?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll put Robin on the list.
And Robin's on the call.
Robin, are you on the call? Must be on mute.
She's on meeting view.
Okay. Well, that's good. I definitely wanted to have NCUC. We don't want to look like we're somebody. We purposely left somebody out. You know how that goes.
Agreed.
Yeah. So that's good. I think we're pretty well covered here on not only the individuals identifying skill sets, which I think is part of our obligation, but we're also cross. Sectoring, if you will, reaching out to a broad the whole group, not where somebody can pinpoint it, purposely leaving somebody out or some group out. Is that fair?
Agreed.
Okay, so now the concept of email addresses, I assume we can get those, Glenn, Julie, Rob. You know, because my next question is then how do we reach out to them? Is it coming from me? Asking their input, how do we want to do that?
Yeah, I think as a chair, that would make sense for you to send this around, saying that before we send this to the community, the work team has discussed and thought, because of your long experience with ICANN, to get your comments to make sure that we're not missing anything in this document prior to sending it out.
Great. Ron, I will do that if you would agree to draft the preamble.
I can. I think Tony was correct, and I reviewed what he put in that in his paragraph there. It's actually on.
Okay.
It's the comes right under description, the last paragraph. If everyone's in agreement on this, well, this is a kind of a good solid piece to start with, and it's basically clarifying that the team neither should explaining that it's not assumed that there's consensus for this approach, but we're looking for some broader input.
So that you mean the paragraph that starts with at this stage?
At this stage, right.
Okay.
So I'll take that paragraph and just add a couple of sentences to it. Unless, Tony, unless you want to take a kick at the cat, seeing how you were the author of that.
I'm okay with it, as you suggested, Ron. Thank you.
Okay, so I'll draft the preamble, and I will draft footnotes. I will send them to Julie within the next hour or so. And
Ron, if you could, tie the preamble to, you know, the high-level principle.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Yep. And I'll send them to Julie for sending out to the community, because also Julie has some things on her work list, I think, as well. So if everyone's in agreement with that.
Yes.
Okay, and by, no later than end of day Friday, I will have, the package then. I will send it out to the members that you guys have identified, Ken and basically Tony. And, of course, if anybody else thinks of anybody, send it to the list as for somebody to add. But I think right now we're in agreement of a particular group.
And if I could, excuse me, Ray, if I could just clarify action steps here. So I will immediately after this call, I'll send around to the team the list of people that we have recommended to send this to as a first initial group. Ron is going to do the footnotes and the preamble, send that to me, and I will put that together. But we were going to circulate that revised document within just our work team, and I could do that today. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a good point. Tony did ask for a couple days for us to review that, so you're right. Good point, Julie. With that said, let's give ourselves till Tuesday of next week before we reach out to the other the list that we've identified.
Yeah, for the record, I will be out next week, but for my part, it's Ron speaking. I will have when I submit this to Julie. From my point of view, I've signed off on the document, so I'm good to go.
Okay, and Tuesday is a good time then for everybody to have reviewed this new draft. Tony, is that enough time for you? And I know everybody's busy.
Yes, thanks, Roy.
Okay.
I'm traveling. Can you hear me right?
Yes.
I'm traveling next week, but I'm thinking at this time in the day next Tuesday will probably be all right with me. I'll be in the U.S.
All right, let's just tentatively set that as the plan then. Figure next Tuesday, I will then reach out to the members that we've identified and formally request their input and feedback. And I will also offer, if they would like to, have any. Sometimes phone communication is more efficient than email communication. I will also offer if they would like to call me or want me to call them. If they have any questions, I will offer that. Does anybody have a problem with that?
Nope.
Okay. So let's do that. Anybody have a problem with moving on now to some other business?
I could stay up for another 15 minutes or so. It's Ron.
Okay. I would want to just identify that, we had a deadline yesterday of Tuesday for anybody to voice an opinion on whether they wanted to change or adjust our charter. No one has responded as of end of day Tuesday. I will formally communicate to the OSC that our work team has accepted the charter. Okay, so that's a good plus. And then secondly, there's going to be a slight change in that our transcripts are going to be now published onto the wiki site. So that's going to allow anybody of interest out there to formally read our transcripts. With that said, I think it could be duplicative. Right now, Julie is compiling meeting notes for us. If they're going to publish the transcripts, which we haven't really done up to now, there's been one published, but if this is going to become routine now of publishing the transcripts, I don't think there's really a need for the duplicity of compiling formal meeting notes. Does anybody have any disagreement with that? Now, Julie would continue to provide us after our calls a summary and the action items of what we've decided or are doing. But in terms of the drafting of formal meeting notes in addition to transcripts, to me, seems redundant. Does anybody have any opinion on that?
I agree.
Okay. So assuming that the transcripts will be published to the wiki site, I would like to ask that we discontinue the formal meeting notes. Julie, is that okay with you?
Of course, it's okay with me.
Okay. Fair enough. Now, we have another action item out there that has to do with these SOI DOI documents, and the last we discussed it, there was some activity going on at the board level pertaining to the same subject matter, and we were going to defer a little bit before we rolled up our sleeves. We were going to defer to what's going on there. Julie, can you give us an update on that? I know you did send around an email that discusses this, but even I have to admit I didn't really get a chance to analyze it. Can you give us a brief update?
Possibly, Rob, you can help me here as well, but my understanding is that there's been some activity in the Board Governance Committee concerning a review of the Board's conflict of interest policy, and that there may be a revised version coming out. Rob, had you heard anything more on this?
No, sorry, I was on mute. This is Rob. No, I had not, Julie. My recollection is that we were doing some of that checking and research in hopes that some of those discussions might benefit the work of this team. So I'll do some follow-up to see if there's more information or newer information to share with the group.
Okay, for our work team, I think it's fair enough to say let's defer this because we know there's another discussion going on in another venue that could be relevant to what we do. So we don't want to be, again, redundant or inefficient, and better to wait because we know that work is going on. Is that a fair position for our work team? Anybody?
It's Ron. I think it's a fair position. There is one thing I would like to bring to the table on this discussion, though, in terms of the current document we have in front of us.
Mm-hmm. Please.
In that regard, we have... under the title Suggestions for Draft Policy Work for Work Team Consideration, it says number one, purpose. At the end of that paragraph, it talks about Section 5227 of the California Nonprofit Public Benefit Corporation Law. And I'm wondering, without knowing what Section 5227 is or anything, one of the things that we get kicked about as ICANN is that we're this California company. How can we be a global body? So I think if it's possible, Rob or Julie, to see if we can find some other thing we could point to in terms of a legal section in international law that might have some relationship, or just take that out completely. Because I think that binding someone who may live in Zurich or in Singapore to Section 5227 of California law isn't going to be appreciated.
Ron, this is Julie. If I could just briefly explain why that's there. I'm not saying that it has to stay in. I fully understand your point. It's there because it was pulled from the language that's in the Board of Directors section on conflicts of interest. And it's there because ICANN is a nonprofit, incorporated in California. So since the Board of Directors' conflict of interest provisions are very legalistic, they refer back to this, law that pertains to ICANN as an incorporated nonprofit in California. That does not mean we have to use that language, and I think that that's something we want to consider as we look at what the board is doing with conflict of interest, and whether or not the document for statements of interest and declarations of interest needs to follow that same format or conform to the same legal requirements as the board is required to follow, board members are required to follow.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, Julie. Legal requirement. That's the difference. As a fiduciary
right.
responsibility as a board member, I have to follow a code of law. But as what we're trying to describe here in the SOI and DOI is more about as individuals who are committing to work on a particular project that we all are going to be open and transparent about our relationships so that no one has any misunderstanding as to who we represent or who we're working for. So there's no legal aspect in that regard. So if, in my opinion, if we could remove anything about California law from this document, I think it would serve the community better.
Yes, Ray. This is Ray. And how we got down that path was, as a work team, was we were looking at the concept of standardization. Instead of having different forms for different purposes, all floating out there, depending on what we are involved in with ICANN, we thought about looking at a standardization process. And since the board was going through this themselves, we asked Julie to look at that and then see how what was missing in our existing statement of interest or declaration of interest and try to standardize it. And I think what we're discovering is we're not going to be able to do that.
To an extent, we can. I think that there are, you know, the body of the document is workable. It's just those kind of, you know, little nabobs of negativity that are out there. If we can avoid them, we should.
Okay.
Well, I'm happy to do a revision of the document without, you know, with these sort of legal aspects in there. I would still leave in the question of enforcement mechanisms, because without, obviously, a legal requirement, how do we want to couch the requirement in a way that it can still be, you know, that council members are still held to it? And I think I do have that as a question in the document, and I'll just sort of highlight it, you know, for the point of discussion, you know, perhaps at the next meeting.
Right. And when we talk about enforcement, and we're running just a little bit over, is that okay with everybody? We won't be much longer.
Yeah.
Okay. As we talk about enforcement, I think that really does drive to the difference between a statement of interest and a conflict of interest document.
Yeah. And speaking to that particular issue, the only real recourse we can have, I think, realistically speaking, in these circumstances, if an individual chooses not to update their, you know, SOI or DOI at the beginning of the meeting, as noted, and it comes to the knowledge of the larger group or in some way or form, that individual would be sanctioned in the sense that they would be suspended from working on that committee. And I think the stigma of being suspended from working on a committee, you know, leaking out through the grapevine, so to speak, was probably as much penalty as we can impose on anyone.
Personally speaking, this is Ray. I think as a GNSO counselor, and if I'm in a working group, I think a, you know, statement of interest could be appropriate. But if as a GNSO counselor and a very important SO of this body called ICANN, I'm just tossing in my head whether it is appropriate to have to be more of a conflict of interest document rather than a statement of interest. And I'm just going to throw that out. Nobody needs to respond today because we're running short on time. But maybe think about that. You know, there is definitely a difference between a conflict of interest document and a statement of interest document.
One other thing I'd like to add to, just in terms of making a friendly amendment to the document that Julie has presented, is where we say GNSO Council. Let's, because we're now working to try to make a clarification about what the GNSO is, that there's a council and there's also an administrative body. We should, if you could just, where you say GNSO, just add in the word policy, so it's very clear it's the GNSO Policy Council as opposed to anything else. Okay, Julie, just a small matter, but you'll see.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were asking the rest of the team if that
No,
was...
No, I'm just putting it out there because it says, you know, if ICANN staff determine that GNSO Council members' statement of interest, blah, 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 so it should be GNSO Policy Council because it's really the policy people that we're talking about, policy development. There's not, I don't see that we'll ever use a statement of interest for the administrative side of the house.
That's fine. I'm happy to make that change.
Yeah.
And perhaps I can make it sort of clear at the top as a point for discussion is that, you know, I will change this. I can change this to have it be sort of a, you know, a statement of interest, you know, type of document as opposed to conflict of interest. And I think it largely is. If the work team members agree to that, then that, you know, that's of course fine with me. But I don't know that everybody, you know, that's not on the call, you know, might want to consider that as well.
So, Julie, just to be clear, what you just said, you said that you're following the suggestion of the chair that we change this from statement to conflict.
No.
Or the other way around.
The other way around.
So we're going to maintain statement of interest.
Right, and well, basically take out the legalistic part that you mentioned that really is something that reflects more of a conflict of interest policy.
Okay.
Okay, and I think that's a good approach, Julie, to do that. So please do. But then I just want to have the other team put in the back of their head for further. We'll have to be discussing this further down the road, once we get past some other work items, of whether we consider for the council members a conflict of interest versus a statement of interest. Personally, maybe a statement of interest is okay, but just want to throw it out there. I don't have any other business. I'm going to propose to adjourn the call. Now, our next call is in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today, same time, 1200 UTC. Ron, you'll be back by then, right?
Yes. And what date, what was the exact date? Was that the 13th?
I can tell you that in a second.
12-13, I'm actually at a conference here in New York, although actually the 13th would probably be possible.
Are you sure about the time there, Ray, that it's 12 UTC?
No.
Yeah, we're going to try and keep the same time, which is 1600 UTC. Thank you, Tony. Yeah, 1600 UTC is the time for May 13th. And Ken, you'll be back by then? And on the call? Maybe not. Okay. With that, I'd like to ask the recording to stop and to adjourn the call, unless there's any other business.
So, Ray, the next call is 13th of May.
Right.
Thanks.
Okay, let's stop the recording and adjourn our meeting.
Very good.
Thank you,
everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
Thank you. Bye.